Welcome back to the OU Daily International Tehillim and a Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. As always, it's great to be back with all of you. Thank you so much for joining today's program, for making it a part of your day on Yom Shlishi, the 11th day of the month of Adar. I'd like to thank my good friend and colleague, Rabbi Phil Karish, for filling in for me yesterday, both as the host and as the moderator. Rabbi Karish shared with me that it was most awkward to introduce himself, but I imagine that, as always, he did a great job. Thank you to our incredible and generous sponsors for their continued support, in particular, the really amazing and incredible Schwartz family, and whose names are prominently listed in the OU Daily email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Abiel Arkovsky of Congregation Shari Tefila in Dallas, Texas, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Arkovsky slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. These are chapters 23, 121, and 130, and as always, it will be followed by Mishaberach L'cholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Arkovsky, who I believe we had on back in May, to learn more about his wonderful community in Dallas, but also to get an update and hear how his community is doing with the really horrible freeze which has gripped the area. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, the Chavod, with great honor, Rabbi Arkovsky.
Thank you, Naftali, and it is a pleasure to be here and a pleasure to be back. I wanted to share with you a beautiful thought that means a lot to me, not just because of the content of the thought, but also because it was relayed by three people, each of whom I had the privilege of knowing or had some type of connection with. This idea is mentioned in the Haggadah of Lord Rabbi Dr. Jonathan Sachs, Zichrona Livracha, whose absence is so deeply felt by us, and who no doubt would have exactly the right thing to say at a time like this. His presence is so sorely missing. He writes it in his Haggadah in the name of the legendary communal activist Mo Feuerstein, Zichrona Livracha, a Boston institutional legend for so many decades, him and his family before him. I had the privilege of knowing Mo Feuerstein. Indeed, the first time I ever met him was several decades ago when he and his wife, Shirley, spent at Purim in my home when they were in Rochester, New York for a bar mitzvah. And that vort, and this vort was relayed by Mo Feuerstein to Lord Rabbi Sachs in the name of Rabbi Dr. Leo Young, from whom he heard it for the first time, on a boat from the United States to Switzerland one summer. I had the privilege of serving as the assistant rabbi at the Jewish Center for 4.5 years, and I sat in the seat that was previously occupied many years before and for 6.5 decades by Rabbi Young. So while I never had the privilege of knowing him personally, I feel a special connection to him because of so much of what he did for this legendary shul, but also for world Jewry in general. That is a long preamble to this idea based on a pasuk that we say every time we bench. It is in Tehillim Perek Lamed Zayin, pasuk Chaf Hei. David HaMelech says, Na'ar Hayisi, Gam Zakanti, Lo Ra'isi Tzadik Ne'ezav, V'Zar'o Mevakesh Lachem. I have been young, now I am old, and never have I seen a righteous person, a righteous man, who was forsaken, Vizar'o Mevakesh Lachem, and his children are seeking bread. Rabbi Young, through Mo Feuerstein to Rabbi Sachs, asked a simple question. A study of Jewish history reveals that at many different times there were tzadikim ne'ezavim. There were righteous people who were abandoned and forsaken and slaughtered and violated, and their dignity torn to shreds and their children sought bread begging. Whether it was metaphorical bread or literal bread, how can we even say this any time we bench with a straight face? How could David HaMelech say this with a straight face? Rabbi Young answered that, in fact, this question can be answered if we actually look at the words carefully. There is one word that is often translated in a way that it shouldn't be. The word is ra'isi. We translate that as I have seen. But if we look in the Megillah, it is used in a different way. Esther is begging the king to spare the Jewish people, and she says, Echacha uchal v'ra'isi v'ra'a asher yimsa et ami. How is it possible that I see? That's not the real translation. The word ra'isi in that case means abide. Echacha uchal v'ra'isi. How can I abide the destruction of my people? How can I stand by and do nothing when their annihilation is imminent? Ra'isi means that I have suffered, I have seen, I have done something about it. Na'ar ha'yisi gam zakanti, v'lo ra'isi tzadik ne'ezav, v'zar'o mevakesh lachem. I have been young, and now I am old. Never have I abided the sight of a righteous person who was abandoned, his children seeking bread. I always did something about it. I always sought to improve their condition. It was never a situation that I beheld and that I had grief fatigue, that I turned away, that I decided this was not something I was going to do about it. I might add parenthetically that the next pasuk in Tehillim is a pasuk that our Sephardic brethren say when they say their Birkat HaMazon. Kol hayom chonenu malveh v'zar oli bracha. That anybody who is always generous, who lends and who gives, their children will be blessed. When you react to a situation where somebody is down, perhaps they are destitute, they are in need, and you give, then that is not just something that is good for you. That's something that is a lasting legacy for your children as well. We have seen this past week. With the outpouring of generosity from so many communities and so many shuls throughout the United States, donating funds for people, families, individuals who suffered as a result of the catastrophic short and long-term damage wrought by the unexpected winter storm. Let's say that Texas is on its own power grid. But I would just say that whereas Texans may want to go it alone and be on their own power grid, the Jews of Texas are connected to the national grid of tzedakah, of chesed, of kindness. In the midst of a cold snap, we felt the warm embrace of the people who said, "V'lo ra'iti, I cannot abide when other people are suffering, other people who are going through difficult times, they need our assistance." And they responded in kind. It's such a privilege to be a part of such a wonderful network of communities, and truly we could say, Mika Amcha Yisrael. Hopefully this will illuminate our view when we look at these psukim in the Megillah, and this idea will influence the way we approach Purim with a view toward helping and answering the call of others. We will now say Perek Chaf Gimel, chapter 23. I'll recite it slowly, followed by chapters 1, 21, and 130. Mizmor le David, Adinoi ro'i lo yechzar. Binois deshe yarbitzeni, almei menuchois in ahaleni. Nafshi yeshovev yancheni b'ma'agvei tzedek v'ma'an shmoi. Gam ki erech begeit salmaves lo irara ki ata imadi. Shivtecha umishantecha heima yinachamuni. Tarech lefanai shulchan neged tzererai, tishanta v'ashemen roshi kaisi revaya. Ach, toiv v'chesed yudefuni kol yemei chayai, v'shavti v'veis adinoi, v'orech yamim. Move on now to chapter 121.
Shir lamalois esa enayel heharim me'ayin yevoyezri. Ezri mima binoi oise shamayim ba'aret. Al yitena moit lagrecha al yanum shemurecha. Hinei lo yanum velo yishan, shemer Yisrael. Adinoi shemurecha, adinoi tzilecha al yad yeminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka v'yareach balayla. Adinoi yishmorcha mikora yishmor es nafshecha. Adinoi yishmor tzeisecha uveyecha me'ata le'ad olam. Continue on with Psalm 130. Shir hama'alois nima'amakim kirasticha adinoi. Adinoi shim'a bekoli tiena uznecha kashuvois dekol tachanunai. Im avoinois tishmoya adinoi mi ya'amoid. Ki imecha ha'selicha lema'an tibarei. Ki visi adinoi kivesot nafshi v'lidvaroi hechalti. Nafshi l'adinoi mishremerim laboker שמרים לבוקר. יחל ישראל אל אדינוי כי אם אדינוי החסד והרבה אמוי פדוס והוא יחדס ישראל מכל אבוי נעזב. מי שברך אבסינו אברהם, יצחק ויעקב, משה, אהרון, דוד ושלמה, הוא יברך וירפא את החולים. הקדוש ברוך הוא מלא החיים עליהם והחלימם ולהפויסם ולהחזיקם ולהחייסם. וישלח להם נהירה רפואה שלמה מן השמיים לכל איבריהם ולכל גידיהם ושורשי חולי ישראל, רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף, השתה בעגלו ובזמן קריב, ונאמר אמן.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Rakovsky. As we transition into the next segment of our call, first and foremost, how are you, your family, and the community doing? Imagine the eyes of the country and the world have been on what's been happening in Texas, and we hope that everyone is okay. What I've seen, just the incredible concern and support of the community, just as you alluded to momentarily ago. Really has been amazing and really demonstrates how special Kali Yisrael is. But if you can give us a little bit of an update, how things are, is electricity back on, and what's that process looking like?
Yes, thank God electricity is back on. My family and I, for reasons that we don't know, we don't understand, we're actually spared the effects of the storm. And we hope that that is not at the expense of any, you know, Olam Haba that is waiting for us. But many of our members did lose power for several days. With that came burst pipes, in some cases significant, in other cases minor property damage. If you went outside right now in Dallas, you would not be able to tell that there ever was a winter storm. I believe the high today is 78 degrees, which is far more seasonal for this time of year. But with the thaw and the heating up comes the burst pipes. So people, and that is it, the best case an inconvenience, and in some cases it is devastating because damage has been significant, and because it leads to even in the event that insurance does cover it, which they look for reasons not to, often the deductible is a steep price for families to pay in many cases. So we're working.
But what's the current need on the ground? Are plumbers still needed? Are funds needed? What's needed at the moment?
Well, so we brought in plumbers from the Northeast to go around to people's houses, take care of urgent needs, whether it was the loss of hot water, whether it was plumbing leaks, whether it was some damage that was brought about as a result. They weren't really doing contracting work, but mostly plumbing work. They were here. I believe that they are actually still here. They're going back today or tomorrow, servicing the needs of the cross-section of the community. It's important to note that property damage does not discriminate on the basis of denominational affiliation or even religion, race, or creed. And so the services that we brought in were not just for the Jewish community and certainly not just for the Orthodox community. Anybody who wanted to was able to partake of these services. So that they are doing so. So that is that's the basic need that we were taking care of, and now we're looking at the longer term needs in terms of actual property repair. Some people have lost their kitchens completely. Some people have holes from one floor of their house to the next. So we're dealing with that right now as well. Certainly, contributions are certainly welcome. As far as what is needed, the manpower on the ground, we had, and they were wonderful.
Amazing. And if any of our wonderful listeners wanted to contribute, how would they go about doing that?
They can contribute to the Dallas Kehila Fund. That is a fund that was generated by the rabbis at the Texas Torah Institute, our local Chabad Chaim affiliate. And we've been working together with them. They can also contribute to the Rabbi's Charitable Fund at Congregation Shari Tefila, which is my shul and my charitable fund. And I want to point out that many, many shuls sent out messages as a result to their membership. And as I mentioned, many OU shuls and their members have been phenomenally, mind-bogglingly generous.
Amazing. The true testament of Klal Yisrael, and our thoughts and our tefillah is certainly with you and the community, and you will get through this, and I'm sure a little bit of the warmer weather, 78 today, probably helps with nothing more, just to pull in a more positive mood. If it's possible, Rav Murkowski, to separate the trauma of the past week momentarily, but to give our listeners perhaps a glimpse into your amazing community, for those who might not be familiar, is it possible just to give us a brief overview of the shul and the community in general?
Sure. We at Congregation Shari Tefila, we are the modern Orthodox synagogue of North Texas. We are a vibrant shul of about 200 families with shiurim, Torah learning going on every day. Chesed, it's difficult for us to be in a position where we receive or we are dispersing funds to local individuals around the receiving end, because thank God we are usually and continue to be on the giving end as well. We always look for opportunities to help others. It was an amazing community of chesed, of hospitality, Torah learning. We have a beautiful, spirited and spiritual davening in our community, and a robust population of wonderful, wonderful kids in our shul as well. We're a young, growing, vibrant community, and we look forward when COVID is behind us. We look forward to continuing the hospitality for which we are known for. Dallas is a heavily traveled city. People come here for business and increasingly as a yeshiva break destination. We look forward to showing the people warm Texas hospitality whenever you come to visit. Dallas as a community is a full-service community. We have a community kollel. There is a modern Orthodox K-12 institution, elementary school, middle school, and high school. There is a girls' school. There is a branch of Chafetz Chaim that I alluded to already. We have Ashkenazi, Sephardi shuls in several different neighborhoods. And there are, I believe at last count, 9 kosher restaurants. That may be an inaccurate number because we might have more. And I'm proud to say that our community has supported them throughout the pandemic to the degree that our shul's Shalach Manos project this year is called Shari Eats. It is a special Shalach Manos project that is made up entirely of products from local kosher establishments. because we feel that it is not just that going out to eat at this point is not just something that satisfies your stomach, but it is a communal service as well. And we feel the people in our community feel an obligation to support local kosher establishments.
Yerevan truly speaks about who this community is. Next question for you. What motivated, what drove you, what propelled, what was the driving force for you to go into the rabbinate and specifically to become the rabbi of a shul, to become a pulpit rabbi?
One answer is that it's in my blood. My grandfather was a shul rabbi. He had it much more difficult than I did. He was a rabbi at the time that Orthodoxy was on, that people were, people didn't give it a long time to succeed. He was a pioneer in many ways. So we rest on his shoulders. At the same time, I also tried other options. I was in dental school briefly. It wasn't for me. And I realized that many of these skill sets that I had, I felt would be better used to serve the Jewish community and in a shul setting in particular. And thank God I've been blessed to be working with and for a particularly wonderful one here for the past 5 years. That's sort of how I ended up in the pulpit rabbinate.
Your community, your Balabat, and we're certainly the beneficiaries of that decision. Last question for you for the day. We've all experienced now nearly a year for really the anniversary in a somber way of what began the pandemic for our community. Now we're a year later. There is light at the end of the tunnel. The rollout of the vaccines have enabled some in our segments of our community to get toward more normalcy. Many Balabats in the shuls and Rabbana and community leaders are having conversations emerging from COVID, what that could look like. And we're certainly not there yet. We have ways to go. But if you could think a little bit about your community in particular, perhaps the broader Jewish community, thinking about, what life might look like post-COVID. And one of, I think, of the real lessons of the coronavirus is that there's a lot of uncertainty and none of us have a crystal ball. But when we think about our communities and the communal changes that perhaps we'd like to see, which ones do you think about in terms of your own community?
Well, I think that one of the things that was most glaringly missing during COVID, even when we opened back up, the sounds of kids. We need to, thank God we have robust programming, but when we bring them back, we need to put them even more front and center. We've had to be creative. Every shul has had to be creative in terms of engaging the youth. Sometimes I think we did a better job. I always think we could do more, but I think that's going to be really a top priority. I also think that we have to be sensitive to and recognize that one of the things that many people are missing about shul is not necessarily the davening, but rather the social aspect. So many of our communities thrive on social gathering and not on social distancing. So we have to figure out ways to engage people for whom that is the portal of entry for them to shul life, and figure out ways to keep them and to bring them to the next level or meet them where they are. That's going to be, obviously, while also taking care to strike the delicate balance of recognizing that in the same way that we had to close down shuls so rapidly, we were fortunate we were still able to experience Purim together as a community, as a shul. We shut down several days later. And we have to recognize what a precious gift it is to be able to come to shul for what shul is about. But at the same time, we have to recognize that what shul is about is different things to different people, and help them to engage as well.
Certainly so. Rabbi Kopsky, thank you so much for being on the call today. really for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community. As the only little cloud you surround of the entire world, our thoughts and our feelings, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. And you, Hashem, please God, to get through what was a very, very difficult week last week. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered with tova, for good. And Amir Ravon Yisha'olam, the master of the world, please speedily bring an end.
We're doing this again
tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, as you will hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Daniel Milner's congregation, Tiferet Israel, in Austin, Texas. With hearts full of faith, be strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.